continuing in the light of what the church is trusting God for in the year 2021. Send your revival, O Lord, and let it start with me. Turn your Bibles again with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was the promise that was given to the disciples, also known as the apostles, when Jesus was leaving them. The work he had done and the impact he had made had gotten to a stage where he needed to move on. And because, of course, in that walk, it was essential that there is a companion that keeps helping you to focus on the right thing and get things done with speed. When Jesus was with them, he would pray with them, he would teach them, he would do miracles, signs and wonders that were visible. And so while he was going, it was also very strong and important that he could leave them with someone that would help them to continue the work. And when the Holy Spirit came, it changed the dynamics. The apostles were able to do far better, exceedingly from what they were able to do before, till after Jesus had left them. Now, Peter, who was afraid of a 12-year-old girl, could minister to over 3,000 people, and such were counted to be saved. And so last Sunday, we had looked at what revival meant and said it is a period of reawakening from a dormant status spiritually. And so this morning, I titled the message, When Revival Comes. When Revival Comes. What do we see when revival comes? If you were not part of the service last Sunday, please do us the favor of getting to watch it on YouTube. You can search for New Covenant Church Agodi Center so you can follow from where we're coming from. When revival comes. So I said revival is a season or a period or a time of spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy. The life of a person, or corporately, maybe as a territory or a locality. Now, when revival comes, it comes because there is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And that was why I read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon you. And when we receive that outpouring, we begin to make changes. We begin to make remarkable impacts, even beyond our own thinking. I am sure if somebody had told Peter that you'll be able to minister and over 3,000 souls will come to Christ, he possibly will have doubted it himself. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to be scared that there could be someone seated here who could go to where a madman is and pray for him and lay hands on him and he begins to regain his senses. Because there is a spirit that is working against his life. He's been tormented by a demonic spirit. And if that happens, you know what it means? It means people can see the reality and the impact of the power of the Holy Spirit. At one time, I'd seen a video of a lady who had gone to a street, I think somewhere in Ogun State, to pray for someone right there on the road, and there was deliverance. And what happened? People thronged after her. Because anywhere the impact of the Spirit of God is, there would be a mass action. When Jesus was walking, people would follow him and travel with him several miles on their foot. He carried the Spirit of God. Remember when he was baptized and he came out, the Spirit said, "This is God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he was alighted upon him, the Spirit of God. And he went about doing wonders, making miracles. And he's that person that will get to a place and there will be a lack and he will make provision. There was a party, a wedding party, and the wine was finished. And it looked as if the author of the wedding or the organizer of the wedding was going to be put to shame. But Jesus was there to rescue. And he prayed. And then there was wine. And the wine tasted finer than the one they had in the beginning. Such that people said, "Hey, when we go to events, they serve the best in the beginning. How come you have kept the best for the last?" That is how God works. He keeps the best for the last. When revival comes. We went ahead again last Sunday to look at the elements of revival. Consecration, preparation, and activation. We said consecration is the state where you had turned yourself from a life of sin and death and mire to a life of cleanliness, holiness, and prepared for the master to use. A consecrated life. You have dedicated your life for the work of the master. And next is preparation. When after you had consecrated yourself, you now prepare. You carefully plan and say, "I am thirsting. I am yearning. I am in hunger to experience the impact of your Spirit." At that phase, you are not expected to still be struggling with sin. At that space, it is a space where you live a life of holiness and righteousness. And so you begin to ask God, "Where in me again do you need to work on so that I can be presentable for you? What part of me do you need to correct and touch and refine that I can be what presentable for you?" It is at that phase where you, as the clay in the hand of the potter, is molded and remolded and sharpened and resharpened so that you can be fit for the use. And as you prepare yourself, you get to that phase where the experience comes and you need to show it by walking in the light of that experience. When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes, it is not just for you, it is for the people around you to see the impact and feel it. And he said, "You will be my witness across many regions." And so when we experience it, our life begins to become a story. A story for people to just take a glimpse and feel the impact. Somebody would just say, "I really can't place, but there is something about you. Maybe I don't know how to express it, but whenever you come, I just feel ease. My trouble will just be lifted." That is the impact of the Spirit of God in your life. Even when you have not said a word, when you have not said a word, somebody is having an experience. You get somewhere, someone is no longer comfortable. Why? Because he's used to doing terrible things. And so when you're around, he knows that he needs to package himself and just be like this. Because there is the Spirit of God in you. Where evil thrives normally, those who do that now come and become a shadow of themselves. Because there is a Spirit that they have seen in you. There's a power that works in you. And ignited as you are, you begin to go ahead to become minister for the gospel, healing people, declaring and breaking yokes, even in your age. In your age. There are younger people who have done more tremendous things for God. So let no one seated here think he's too young or she's too young to make impact or do deliverance or bring healing to other people. It is the Spirit of God that is in you that will do the work. So when revival comes, one, there is restoration of God's consciousness. Every time, everywhere you go, the love of God is what you see. The thought of the Master is what dominates you. So even when you get to school and people are doing the wrong things, your life is like a representation of Joseph who says, I cannot do such a thing and sin against God. Not because it is not pleasurable, not because it is not going to earn money into your pocket, but because it is a sin to God. Joseph's father was not there when Potiphar's wife came. Joseph's pastor was not there when Potiphar's wife came. Members of Joseph's family were not there. Joseph was there alone. But he needed to take a decision, and he took a stand to stay as a representation, an ambassador for God. I can't do this and sin against my God. When revival comes, you live in that consciousness and the love for God. I know you are feeling bad, but I can't do this because I'm conscious that I'm a son in the kingdom. I'm going to lose something. I'm going to miss something, but I prefer to miss and lose that because I am a replica of God. He created me in his image. So I'm going to say, if I'm going to hold God in the mirror and look at God in the face, is he going to be excited at what I'm about to do? When revival comes, that becomes evident in your life every day, every time. Restoration of God's consciousness. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Please don't think you are going to use blessed water to wash your body. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, without blemish, pure. So every time you are living in the reality that I'm going to do anything evil, I must be washed. I've been washed. I must remain washed. Sprinkled out of evil conscience. Nothing pricks me that what I'm doing is evil, because I've allowed the Spirit of God to work. And so I live in the consciousness, in the reality that this is who I am. You know, royalty comes with privileges and rights. When you're a son and a daughter in the kingdom, you have a lot to benefit. You walk with royalty. You walk with the charisma of who you are. Imagine, even in the modern day, if you are a member of the royal family in the United Kingdom, look at that grace they exude. Look at that pride. Look at that privilege. That was why a lot of people wondered when these guys changed their mind and said they just wanted to become common people. They just want to live normal lives. They were like, what is wrong with these guys? Because they know what it means to live a royalty. You know, you don't walk anyhow. You don't eat anyhow. They live in the reality that we are royalty. That is how God expects you to live as a son and a daughter. The realization that I cannot do this. I don't do things anyhow. I am guided by the Holy Spirit. When revival comes, there will be restoration of God's consciousness. When revival comes, there's an outpouring of God's Spirit for holiness. You begin to see that there is a remarkable change in individual lives. They tend themselves more to things that are righteous. And so collectively, you can feel the pulse of righteousness. You can feel the move of holiness. And when you look at yourself, you just find out that, look, I don't seem to be fit here. This person, they exude something. I am not feeling it. I'm not supposed to be here. Because you are not yet walking in the light of that outpouring of the Spirit of God. But immediately you key in, you see that you fall in line. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, everybody move with the flow. And so, corporately, we can continue to experience the impact of the anointing. There is genuine salvation of souls massively. When revival comes, there is genuine salvation of souls massively. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and in that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls in one day. When revival comes, when the work of the Spirit begins to happen, you're going to see genuine salvation. With the outpouring of revival, with the outpouring of God's Spirit rather, in that move of revival, you just find out that people come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ without stress, because it is the Spirit of God that goes to convict them of their sins. They feel like there's something burning inside. They want help. Genuine salvation. Massive with the outpouring of God's Spirit. When revival comes, Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. When revival comes, there is a strong passion for the word and prayer. You find out that you can no longer do without the word. When you have not received the word, you feel like you are empty. You know, normally, naturally, you feel you have everything, right? You have your brain. You can think. You can walk. That's fine. That's great. But when revival comes, you feel the word of God fresh, new, every day. If you have not tasted the word of God, it's like you have not tasted water that day. You don't get comfortable. It doesn't make sense to you anymore that the word of God had not got into your eardrum. And you're like, hey. So if you have it on your phone, you quickly want to open it, open the app, and get some words to pump you up. You want to read a literature to encourage yourself, to build up your faith. You want to listen to messages to what? Equip yourself. When revival comes, prayer is no longer difficult. Some of us, we still struggle with prayer for maybe 5 minutes and then we get tired. When revival comes, you don't even look at the time. When you enter into the flow, when you enter into the realm, you don't even want to stop, because you begin to enjoy the presence of God. You begin to enjoy the presence of God. When revival comes, there's an outburst of miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts chapter 3, and I'll read verse 6 and 7. Then Peter said, you are asking me for money, but silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When revival comes, outburst of miracles, signs and wonders, and they will look at you like, sorry, what just happened? She prayed for her. She's getting up. And they look at you like, is this the same person? It is not you. It is the Spirit of God inside you. When revival comes, things change, and they change fully. This morning, I would like you to just bow your head and speak to God. Send your revival and let it start with me. Send your revival and let it start with me. Everywhere your spirit needs to work in my life, I ask for the impact of your spirit. If you know you have given your life to God, you have given your life to Jesus, you've been experiencing him in all dimensions, ask. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will begin to walk like the apostles walked. They were called Christians in Antioch, not because they knew them, but they saw that there was something about them that replicated the life of Jesus. They call them the followers of Christ. They could recognize inside them that there is a spirit. Ask for that spirit to make changes to your life. When this spirit is poured, you will begin to see remarkable changes in your life. Prayer becomes easy. Your passion for prayer grows. Your passion for the word of God goes. If your passion is still social media, go check yourself again. Have you experienced the revival? If your passion is still parties and clubs, go check yourself. There is something still lacking somewhere. When you do not feel excited to pray, when you do not feel like you can pray for long, something is wrong. But when revival comes, you will wrought miracles. When revival comes, you will make marks that people will know that this is a wonder. When revival comes, there would be a strong longing for the presence of God in your life. And you will continue to walk in a consciousness that there is God, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for bringing to bear and mind with us the impact of revival upon a place. Revival is driven by the Spirit working upon men who had been dormant, who had been in a state of inactivity. Therefore, for every dormant soul here, we receive activation for your revival work in Jesus' name. And we ask, oh Lord, that you raise young men and women that would make impacts in their generation. Young men and women that would break the bounds of history, that would make their mark even with the power of the Holy Ghost that would work on their inside. Young men and women that would dedicate themselves for righteousness, that would dedicate themselves to the consciousness of the reality of Jesus Christ everywhere, every time. These are people you will raise within us, Lord. We receive them in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.